you that we can spend this time as a family in Christ, Lord. And we thank you that we could just celebrate together with the Brits of this morning, Lord. And as we just come into your word, we thank you, God, that we can have a confidence in your word this morning. We can have a confidence in your faithfulness, Lord. We have a confidence not in our own abilities, on our own even knowledge this morning, but in our own opinions, God. We have a confidence in you, Lord. You are that are unchanging, Lord. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. And our confidence is in your word that does not change, God, and your word that is life to us this morning. So we come with that confidence to you, and we draw near, Lord, knowing that you'll draw near to us. So, Holy Spirit, we ask you and we welcome you to come and to breathe on this word, Lord, to make it life and to transform us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the power to change and we looked at different aspects around that. And one of the things we mentioned is humility. And we looked at a few things that are needed or that kind of aspects around the power to change and God's power to change. And this morning, I'm going to look at a little bit different angle. And we've been looking a lot at discipleship lately, and we've been looking at what does it mean, and we're looking at the kind of journey of discipleship. And when we look at that, you know, the first step of us kind of walking a journey with Christ is when we submit to the Lordship of Jesus, right? So when we are born again, when we come into a relationship with Him, that is the place when we are born again. It's an event, right? Like the birth of a child, it's an event. Some people believe you can evolve into being a Christian. I don't believe that. It's just like the little child had to be born. There was a time when she was not born, and then she was born. Like when we had Abigail, you know, that first week, you wake up in the morning and then you realize, oh, well, there's another little person here. my life has changed. You know, in the same way, when we are born again, we're not the same. Our lives have changed. There's an event that happens, and that event starts the process of salvation. So being born again is an event, but the process of salvation starts, and that process of salvation continues until the day we see Christ. So that's a process of sanctification, process of being change, being made like Jesus, process of being renewed from the inside out, and a process of radical, continual change. Now, a lot of those words that I said are not comfortable words, right? Radical change, doesn't always sound comfortable. So that's some of what we're going to look at this morning. But that's something we need to, I believe, we need to make peace with. That when we commit to follow Christ as our Lord and Savior, there is a continual change that happens, a continual growth. Growth sounds better, right? Growth, positive. But for us to grow, there's going to be change. And what I've recognized in my own life, and that's part of what has sparked this, is it seems like maybe at the beginning when we were newly saved, there's a massive change that happens. It's as if there's a momentum, and it's as if we experience a lot of change. But I don't know about you, but that it seems to there is a potential for it to kind of plateau as we kind of settle into a routine, one can say, in your relationship with God, or into a bit of a stagnation, some might say. I find that I have to really watch my heart in terms of being resistant to what God wants to do in my life, or kind of going with the same momentum in terms of embracing what God is doing in my life. But let's just have a look at this scripture in 2 Kings, and we're going to look at the context of this more on these few principles. 2 Kings 5, this is quite a bit of scripture, so I'm just going to read through it to stay with me. Hopefully it all fits on there. Not okay. Don't worry, we'll do old school. If you have a Bible, read with me. 2 Kings 5:1-16. I don't have all the scriptures on there in any case, so you'll have to follow in your Bibles. Very radical, I know, but okay. From verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought a letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." No pressure. So these are the military powerhouse of the day kind of sends over his guys. Okay, this is so that you can heal him. Okay, so a bit of pressure there. So the king stresses a bit. Excuse me. "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.' He thought he was picking a fight. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes that he sent to the king, saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' And Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, 'Go, wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and the Parphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?' So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?' So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, and he and all his aides, and came and stood before him and said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" I'll just go up till there for now. And he wouldn't receive any gift. We're going to have a look at what happens here, and I just want to draw a few parallels from that in terms of what we experience in our walk with God. And I'll try and be brief. Okay. Now, firstly, we see Naaman. Now, he's an important guy, but now he has this affliction, right? He's a leper, and luckily for him, I would say, maybe not luckily, but this is not something you can hide, okay? And I think actually this is, works in his favor, and this is often one of the things that is a challenge to us, is a humility to acknowledge the problem, the humility to realize, yes, actually, I receive a conviction from the Lord, there is a change that needs to happen, I need healing in a certain area, I need to be restored in a certain area. Sorry. And there is that first step of saying, "Yes, Lord, I know I'm convicted. I realize change must happen," and kind of submitting to that. But then in his case, I suppose it's maybe a bit easier because he can't hide it. It's not something he can hide away. It's very public. And actually the servant girl is the one that looks out for him and says, "Listen, I know of a solution." And we all need people like that around us, okay? We need people that know of our weaknesses. We need people that know what we're struggling with so that we can actually walk in the light. So that they can actually say to us, "Listen, this is the solution. At least walk with us, at least trust with us and stand in faith with us. But this is the challenge. In his case, it was public. In our case, often it's not. So it's a decision for us to say, yes, I will walk in the light. I will humble myself and bring this before somebody that can go through this process with me. I just want to quickly read from James. It's not going to be up there, so just follow with me. James chapter 10. Thank you. Thank you very much. Have you ever heard somebody pray, Lord, please humble me? I've heard that. That's dangerous. Okay, just wanted just a quick tip. Please think twice before you pray that. Most people that pray that prayer then find themselves in all kinds of ridiculous situations quite soon after that. If we just do a quick show of hands, or we share some stories about most embarrassing moments, yes, those, some of those you. But what we see in Scripture is this. Let's just quickly read from verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. So we see it. Something else here. It's a place where we have a choice, a decision to humble ourselves before the Almighty God, before He's forced to do it to us. Okay, if God has to humble us, it's going to hurt. I mean, but there is grace for us to do it ourselves, to come and humble ourselves before God, and specifically in terms of change, in terms of growth, to come to a place where we say, yes, God, I humble myself, I bow the knee, I realize I must change in this area, and I want to take a hold of your provision in this area. I mean, the real fun is up being out there, but you got to focus here, okay? So that's step one, is the humility to acknowledge a change that needs to take place, and then to bring it into the light and to walk with someone. And I don't know if this has happened to you, but this has happened to me. When you face a challenge in your life or a testing time, and you kind of, some time passes, and then you find yourself at the same place, and you realize, okay, I don't think I passed this test the first time around, because I'm finding myself writing it again. And that's when the humility comes in and say, okay, Lord, I haven't dealt with this thing. I haven't worked through it. I humble myself so that you can lift me up, so that you can give me grace. Scripture says that God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. So when I was in the Air Force briefly for about 2 years in the 90s, that sounds really long ago, the South African Air Force was going through quite a lot of changes, and there were people from, obviously because of the political changes that happened in the 90s, there were a lot of changes happening in the Defense Force as well. And when I was there, a lot of it already happened, but a lot of it was still happening. And a term that came up in that time was, some people were labeled or referred to as unofficially as RTC. And that was resistant to change. And what we found is, although I wasn't really part of the whole thing, I was just kind of a very insignificant, at that stage, candidate officer. Candidate officer is a very unique position in the Defense Force, because you have already done your officer's forming course, so you're about to become an officer, which means you will be then have a lot of people under you in terms of rank, but you have not yet received the rank, so you're actually zero on the contract. Okay, so yeah, it's a funny situation. But in any case, so at the RT, what happened is, a lot of the guys that would have been around for many years found it very difficult to accept the changes that were happening and to work through the changes, and so they were referred to as RTC. And but I had a lot of respect for that, because of where the guys were coming from. And often we experience the same. So what are the things in our lives that cause us to be resistant to change? resistant to what God wants us to do or what God wants us to grow in. I'm just going to have a look at a few, and I'm sure there's quite a lot of other ones, but let's just have a look at these. Firstly, let's look at, and in Naaman's case, he reckons, surely I'm an important guy. This guy could have at least come to the door and spoken to me. And we see a bit of pride there. We see a bit of, you know, I mean, surely my river's at home. The water we have there is just as good as this river. You know, that kind of a, how can this be it? This, you know, and so there's a bit of pride that comes in there. And often I've experienced this is what trips us up. God shows us something in our lives, and we know we need to deal with it. But somehow that taking that step and bringing it into the light, or taking that step and bringing it before God, acknowledging, yes, I'm struggling with this thing, or acknowledging I'm still here at the same test, is something we find very difficult. And I would just encourage us. I've experienced, along with that pride, is often a bit of fear. Right? So there's a bit of fear of rejection from people and even from God. There's a bit of fear of the change, and that's often what we experience in the Air Force at that stage. The guys were not resistant just to be difficult. They were, most of them were afraid of the unknown, afraid of what was going to come, afraid of the change that was going to come. I just want to encourage us this morning that when we come to Christ, sometimes people talk about surrendering to Christ, right? Now, and if we sing, there's a song that goes about that. I understand why we do that, but a lot of times when we think about it with the concept of surrendering, you surrender to somebody that is hostile to you, right? In a military context, it's like that. You know, you surrender when somebody is hostile or opposes you or kind of poses danger to you, okay? But with Christ, it's not like that. It's not like you go and surrender to the GP. Have you felt like that? You have to surrender now and then. No. Because Christ, and that's the thing we think we need to shift in our hearts and our minds in terms of trusting God. Trusting God with His hand upon our lives. Trusting Him with the very things that He's wanting to change in us so that we can have an abundance of life that He has prepared for us. And personally, I've been there many times, at a place where God has put His finger on something in my life that needs to change, and it's painful. And you remember a while ago, I came across the quote where I heard this guy, Rick Rousseau, say that unfortunately, as Christians, we only change, not when we have the conviction at first, we only change when the pain of staying the same becomes more than the pain of change. Did you get that? So we have to get to the place where it hurts too much to stay the same. It hurts more than it hurts to change. And so God, you know, I've experienced that God puts a finger on something and says, my son, we need to look at this. We need to change. I've got made provision for you. And then there's a fear, and then I don't want to go there. It hurts too much. Or I don't want to go there. It's just too uncomfortable. Or it's just, it hurts too much. And some of us God wants to deal with things in our past. Maybe stuff that, relational stuff that hurts a lot, or things that we're dealing with. And we almost don't want God to go there. The picture I often get is that, you know, you've got a beautiful house and this is your life. And you invite God into your house and now He's in your life. And everything in the front room is beautifully clean, but then there's some of the back rooms that are a mess, and we don't want visitors to go there. Okay, or maybe not in your house. Okay, but you know, we don't want visit. We don't want God to go there because it's painful, and it's a mess, and we feel exposed when God goes there. But I just want to encourage us that every time that God has laid His hand on something in my life, every time I've humbled myself, even though I was afraid or a bit fearful, all I received was grace. All I received was love. All I received was compassion and acceptance and grace to deal with it and strength to deal with it and provision that God has made to actually get through it. So I just want to encourage us this morning that even though there's that trepidation, even though there's that a bit of fear, when we are able to humble ourselves before God, we receive His grace. Amen. But when we resist, and that's awful, I've also experienced, when we resist Him, it's not good. When we are proud, actually God resists us. Some translations say God goes to war against the proud. So that kind of puts it into perspective a bit. Okay. Another reason, I'm just going to mention, okay, I mentioned the comfort thing. Some of us, we know things must change, but it's just, I'm comfortable here now. I'm settled in this way of doing things. This space that I'm in is what I know. I'm in charge here. I'm in control, right? And because I know how it works, I've gotten used to things. There's a fear of what's out there, and it's not comfortable to go there. I remember, I don't know why these examples are all coming from the Air Force time this morning, but when I was doing the Air Force training, the officers forming, there's a time they call it induction, which is a period of about 24 to 36 hours where they give you full kit and then they basically try and make you crack for 36 hours. So that involves physical exercise and mental tests and extreme conditions in terms of elements, cold and heat and all kinds of things. And I remember, funny enough, in a situation like that, I can remove myself out of it and kind of look at it objectively, which helps a lot. So what I remember is, the big thing about this was, and the fear that people had about it, because there was these guys that we were doing all kinds of different things, okay? We would do physical things and we would do mental things, but the physical part was with a specific group of guys, the PTIs, and they would come at specific time, certain times in the night or in that 36 hours, and you could see them coming, and then the guys would be so afraid. What will the guys do next? What will they do to us next? it wasn't funny at the time, but and I realized the big thing there is the fear of the unknown. Because if you think about it rationally, the guy's not going to kill you, okay? It does feel like it. But that's the fear of, we don't know what's going to come next. We don't know what are these guys, they've been capable of many things, so there's a bit of a dread. But that's the dread of the unknown. And often that's the thing that challenges us to, when God wants us to get out of that comfort zone, is the fear of what is lying ahead. And again, it comes down to us, you and I, coming face to face with God to a place where we realize I can trust Him. Amen? And that starts with little things, right? Firstly, obviously, the big one is to actually come to a place of salvation. And we're going to just touch on that a bit later. But that means I'm trusting God. And a good picture there, I'm getting out of the driver's seat and I'm allowing Christ to take the driver's seat, to take charge of my life, to take the lead. He determines where I go. He determines when I take a turn. He determines how fast I go. He determines if I go slower, faster. He determines where we stop. Amen? And that often is the thing that challenges us, that place of I don't have that choice. Control anymore. And I really trust this for a grace this morning to relinquish that to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've been holding on to this area. I've been holding on to this thing, and I wouldn't let you in there, but I want to trust you in it. I want to give this over to you. I want to allow you to come and have your way in this thing. Are you with me? Okay. Another thing that along with the fear, that keeps us resistant to change what God and the growth that God wants in our lives is either deception or a lack of knowledge or a combination of the two. And this I've experienced myself, where you either lose sight of that God has prepared for you, or you're completely ignorant to it, or you get deceived by the enemy in terms of who God is and what He has for us. Okay, so I think if you and I had a clear picture of what God has for us, we will trust Him. Amen. We won't be afraid of what He has prepared for us. We won't be afraid of the change. We won't be afraid of, you know, what if God calls me to go to Afghanistan and to plant a church there, because we know He's faithful, because we know what He has prepared for us is perfect, because we know there's no better place than in the will of God. So that's a key thing. What is that unknown thing? And do I have a clear understanding of what God has prepared for me? So I just want to, and this is not an easy thing. People often, you know, ask, how do you hear the voice of God? How do you discern His will? So that's something we grow into. That's something it doesn't come naturally to us. It's a faith step to hear the voice of God. It's a faith step to engage Him and to hear. But coming again to a place where we trust God and the nature of who He is, that His goodness toward us and His faithfulness towards us, means that it becomes easier for us to understand the goodness, the good things that He has prepared for us. And it becomes easier for us to say, okay, Lord, I want that thing. I want that You have prepared for me and nothing else. Many of you will know I had to make this shift in terms of career, wanting to go into a career in the Air Force, very specific career. And the Lord, by His grace, and that's why I call it grace to change, because it's by grace. God, by His grace, brought me to a place where I could humble myself and say, Lord, you know what? I will lay down everything, but I want to be in Your will. I want to know that place where I know I'm in Your will. I know I have confidence this is where You want me to be. And I was really desperate at that stage, and that's a good place. Because I said, Lord, I will go anywhere, I will do anything, but I just want to have this knowledge that I'm in Your will. And with that same, at the same place, I had the confidence that wherever God will take me, that will be the best place for me. And whether He takes me and my family and children or whatever it is, that place is the safest place. That place is the place of provision. That place is the place of blessing, because that's in the center of the will of God. And after that, I came to that place. A lot of changes happened in my life very quickly, and it was a bit scary. But I must say that one thing that I knew through that time was the peace of God. I knew whatever You're going to take me, wherever He was going to put me, it'll be fine, because it's in His will. So it's scary, but that peace is there, and that peace is what carried me through it. And I remember some friends, people that didn't know God at that stage, some were living with me, some were in the same residence, some were in the Air Force with me, and one specifically said to me, "Listen, you couldn't understand how I could be so calm, because everything around me was just falling apart, and it seemed, you know." I had to resign from the Air Force. I had a lot of debt. I couldn't continue studying. And it was just by the grace of God. It was just by the fact that I knew the peace. And I could actually testify. I could say, listen, I know what God, I don't know what He has prepared for me, but I know whatever He has for me is good. And that's the best place for me to be. So I want to encourage, I feel specifically there's a few of us this morning that God wants to show us again and challenge us to open our eyes to see what He has prepared. And it's like taking Moses on top of a mountain and showing him the promised land and saying that is where the nation is going. But at the same time, not only for us to see what He has prepared, but for us to have a boldness to say, yes, God, I want to go there. I want to be there. I want to be in that place. I want to go where what You have prepared for me. And yes, for Peter, it meant he has to get out of the boat and walk on the water. It's not comfortable. It's not. It's into the unknown. It's crazy scary. But I know what He has prepared for me is good. I know He is faithful. Amen. Are you with me this morning? Okay, so in Naaman's case, we see him, you know, he humbles himself. And praise God for those servants. So first, it's just servants. Praise the Lord. I mean, the servant girl encourages him to go to the prophet. And his servants say to him, listen, why don't you just go back and do what he says? And he actually humbles himself, and he goes and he obeys. Simple thing. And the Lord heals him right there. And often it's the things that the simple things that are the hardest, but when we obey, God is faithful. I mean, it's like asking somebody for forgiveness, you know, acknowledging that you were wrong, stuff like that. The simple things, the hardest things, but the things that bring the most release and bring the most healing. Bring the most restoration. And I just feel this is maybe for somebody this morning that relationally, this is true for someone here. Just do what you need to do to fix that relationship. I don't know who it is, maybe more than one person, that the relationships that had damage, and God wants to restore it, but maybe it's your pride or there's fear in the way. And I just feel God saying, just do what you need to do, whether it's apologize or have coffee, have a chat with a person. If that's you this morning, please just respond. There's grace for that, okay? I'd probably pray for you. If you want me to pray with you at the end, I'd like to do that. But there's grace for that. There's grace to receive the provision of God in that situation. Amen? Okay. we see him obey, and we see the Lord heal him completely. I just want to touch on one or two scriptures before we close. So they won't be up there. Sorry, I added these ones. Sorry, just a moment. Just find this one. Ezekiel 36, I'm just going to read from 24. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all the countries, and bring you into your own land, and then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave you to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. And this is such a key. And I just felt for many of us here, there's a hardness of heart that creeps in after we go through tough times, we go through difficult situations. And often we don't realize it, but we harden our hearts against the Lord. Not against people as well, but in fact, we harden our hearts against God. And one of the things I felt when preparing is that God wants to give us grace for us to humble ourselves. Yes, God, I have a hardness of heart in this area, and I need for you to give me a heart of flesh again. Give me a new heart. To refresh me with put your spirit in me again. Take the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh again. And that heart of flesh speaks of a soft heart, a heart that is sensitive to what the Holy Spirit says, a heart that is sensitive to what God wants to do. A receptive to and trusting. A hardness of heart is when we are resistant to what God is trying to do. And I really trust that there will be a boldness for us to bring our hard hearts to God and say, God, in this thing, I've been so hard-headed. I've been so hard-hearted. I need for you to give me a heart of flesh again. And that often ties in with that relational issues in terms of unforgiveness as well. I just want to read this again, this promise here. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And I will keep my judgment, and you will keep my judgment and do them. So that is the promise. When we do humble ourselves, when we do come before Him, He removes the hardness and He gives us a heart of flesh. Amen. Okay, then I want to just close. Let me just read this one, yeah. In terms of, I mentioned this at the beginning. Okay, so I just want to close with a account of one of the miracles that Jesus did, and you're going to put it up there from. From Mark chapter 9, from verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And wherever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples and that they should cast it out, but they could not." He answered him and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming at the mouth. So he said to his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And often he has thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if he can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and into him no more." Then the spirit cried out, convulsed him greatly, and came out of him. And he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. This is quite a hectic story, quite a hectic account of Jesus delivering this little boy. But look at this powerful picture of firstly the faith of the parents or the bringing the child to Christ. And it's not, you know, it's a bit ugly, you know, this demon is really just taking, you know, doing its worst with this poor child. And often we often want to avoid things like that, but Jesus says, "Come, bring him to me." It's not pretty, it's a difficult situation. And often we find ourselves with an issue and with a problem, and because it's not pretty, you know. We often want to dress it up and make it look nice and then come to God, but God looks at it just as it is and says, "Come to me like that. Come with the things. I know it's not nice, it's not pretty, but come to me." It's Jesus says, "Come, bring him to me." And then he asks this question, and I just feel this is on God's heart for us this morning. Do you believe? It's anything is possible for him who believes. And then the response is so precious. He says, "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief." So there's, I want to believe, and I believe, but there's still a little bit that I don't know how it's going to happen. I mean, this child has been here like this for many years. And I just feel this morning God wants to say he's got grace for that thing. He's got grace for that little bit of doubt. He's got grace for that place. But he just wants us to come to him in that way. Come with your things, that place that you don't want to show anybody, that place that you don't want God to go into. Come with the stuff, even if it's not pretty or if it's not, it's a bit upsetting. And, you know, people might be, you know, people might think something, come to him. He's got grace for that. And he delivers him right there, and he heals him, and he raises him up. Stand with me this morning. Let's just pray together. So this morning, the key things I felt was for us to come to a place where we say, yes, God, I recognize there's going to be a continual process of change in my life. There's a continual process of growth. And then I feel there's some specific people that God wants to minister to, some that have experienced the hardness of heart. Maybe you didn't even know about it. Maybe the Holy Spirit has convicted you even this morning, a hardness of heart towards God. Maybe you didn't even know why it's there, but you know there's some people experience it as a cynicism. Some experience it as a lack of faith or an unbelief in terms of when people testify and you think, oh, you know, whatever, that won't happen to me, or that God, that's not possible in my life. So there's a hardness there, and there's this maybe a bit of a unbelief, and I just feel, God, this morning there's a grace to bring our hearts before God. Say, Lord, my heart is hard, and I need for you to give me a heart of flesh again. My heart is hardened in this area. I'm struggling to trust you, and I need for you just to come and take out this heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. And then I feel, this is really a grace for us to humble ourselves this morning. Say, God, I don't want you to humble me. I want to humble myself. I bring my heart before you. I bring my life. I come humbly, and I recognize, you know, whatever you tell me, whatever plan you've, whatever provision you've made for me, I know that's perfect for me. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it looks like. And in Naaman's case, he didn't like the package the provision came in. He didn't like that it was this guy that just sends his servant to the door, you know, and they must go and wash. He didn't like this. He had a different expectation. Maybe he had an expectation it's going to be a big stage, and he's going to go on the stage, and it's going to be lights, and then, you know, he's going to pray over him, and there's this lightning bolt coming from heaven, whatever. But so often we have this expectation of how God should heal us, or how he should deliver us, or how he should provide for us. And God, maybe in a still small voice, comes and says, I want you to do this. And then we go on our high horse. And I just feel there's a grace for us to humble, to get off from our pedestal, to go off from our high horse, to get off from our expectations and our wanting to say to God how it should happen and when it should happen and why it should happen and through whom it should happen. And just to humble ourselves and say, God, whoever you want to minister to me through, or how you want to do it, I want to receive that what you have for me, and I want to walk in the way that you have prepared for me. And then this morning I feel this special grace for some that have a little bit of unbelief. Amen. That, Lord, I believe, I want to believe, but help my unbelief. So let's pray together. If you fall into any of those categories, I just want to trust for boldness to respond to the Lord this morning, to respond to the Word. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your grace that is sufficient for us, God. Oh, God, I thank you, Lord, for a grace, Lord, firstly, Lord, to humble ourselves, God, and to submit to your Lordship, which is the first step, to submit to the Lordship of Christ. You are King of Kings, Lord. You are Lord of all. And this morning, Lord, it's a privilege for us to bow the knee before you, Lord, and we acknowledge that we are your servants, God, that we live to worship you. We live to serve you, Lord. We live to honor you. We live to follow and obey you, God. And if, just while every eye is closed and while we're praying, if you know you've not yet submitted to the Lordship of Christ and you need to take this first step of humbling yourself, then there's grace this morning. There's an invitation for you to come to him. Come just as you are. Come with all your guilt and shame. Come with whatever has happened in the past, and come to the cross to receive the gift of salvation, to receive the fact that Jesus has paid for everything that you have done. He has paid the fine. He has wiped it clean. And you have got an opportunity to receive that gift and to walk into a real relationship with the Father. Take this first step. And if that's you this morning, and you know you want to take that step this morning, I want to encourage you to, if you would just lift up your hand, I'd love to pray with you this morning. Is there anybody like that this morning? Okay. Amen. Is there anybody else this morning? Okay, I just want us to all pray together and bring our hearts before God and just once again submit ourselves to Him. So I want to lead us in a prayer, and I want you to pray after me. We're just going to again submit our lives to God. Okay? Father God, I thank you for your love for me. I've tried many things, Lord, but I cannot find fulfillment, and I cannot save myself. This morning I acknowledge, Lord, that I am a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. And this morning, Lord, I humble myself and I receive your gift of salvation. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you have raised him from the dead, and that from this moment, he is my Lord and my Savior. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that I can place my life into your hands and trust you with my everything. Thank you for a relationship with you, Lord. Thank you that I can hear your voice. Thank you that I can walk with you all my days. That you never leave me and you never forsake me. Thank you for your hand of protection upon me. Fill me with your Spirit, God, and your presence in my life to overflowing. Let your kingdom come in and through my life for the glory of your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just give a praise offering to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And I just feel, just to pray a little bit for some more things. Yes, God, I thank you, Lord, this morning for a grace to bring our hard hearts before you. And if that's you this morning, if you have experienced hardness of heart, or if you experience fear and a fear of rejection, or if you've experienced a bit of unbelief, then wherever you're standing now, I just wanted to raise your hands, and I just want to pray together this morning. Yes, Father, we thank you for every person now that's reaching out to you, Lord. We thank you for your provision. We thank you, Lord, that we can humble ourselves this morning. We say, Lord, take our hardness of heart, Lord. Take our hard hearts and give us a heart of flesh again, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, we acknowledge, Lord, that many times we are so resistant to you, Lord. We resist you, God, and we are afraid, God, and we are afraid of the unknown, God. And this morning we thank you that we don't have to be afraid anymore because we know you, Lord. And so it's no longer the unknown. We know you, God. We know who we trust, Lord. We know who we are following, God. And that is what matters, God. And this morning we surrender to you, Lord. And we yield to you, God. And we thank you, Lord, for your provision for us in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that for a grace, Lord, for that little bit of unbelief, God, this morning that you respond to our faith, God, wherever we're at, God, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that you receive us with warts and all, God, with all our issues, with all our problems, with all our shortcomings. You call us near so that you come and heal us, Lord. You restore us, God. You make us new. And right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for a softness of heart, Lord. I thank you for a sensitivity to your voice in Jesus' name. I thank you for a sensitivity to respond to your voice, God, a boldness to go and to receive that good thing that you have prepared for us, God, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that for seeds planted this morning. We thank you for that you've started a good work in our lives, God. And we thank you that you are faithful to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.